Welcome to Spirit Life Training. Welcome back. A little housekeeping before we get started for tonight's lesson. Next week, it'll be Prosperity Revival, November the 2nd through the 6th. There'll be two sessions per day, 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. You are required to attend the 7 p.m. sessions. There will be attendance quiz for every session that night. It's important that you be there. It'll be November the 2nd through the 6th. 10:30 is, I highly encourage you to be at all sessions, but the only ones that are mandatory are the night sessions at 7 p.m. All times of Central Standard Time. All right, let's get into tonight's lesson. Last week when we were together, we began to deal with the first aspect of the soul, which is emotions. And I know since that lesson, I hope you've been really paying attention to your emotions and where they're coming from. What? Remember last week we talked about, I gave you a process by which every one of us works. And sometimes it happens fast for some, slower for others. But every day we do this. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts produces your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. And your actions bring certain results. Let's go over that again. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings or your emotions. Because remember, emotions are energy for action. Your emotions give you energy for action. So your feelings or your emotions causes you to act. And your actions bring certain or definite results. So that's the process all of us go through every day. If you don't like, let's walk through that thing backwards. Let's walk through it backwards. If I don't like my results, I need to go back and check my actions. And I don't like my actions, I need to go back and check my feelings or my emotions. I don't like the way I'm feeling. I don't like this energy I'm feeling. I have to go back and look at my thoughts. Then once I look at my thoughts and I know my thoughts is causing me to feel this way, I don't like the way I feel, so I got to change my thoughts. That means I need to look at my environment. That leads me to the second way to activate or to control your emotions. The first action we can take to control our emotions is to doubt every emotion. Doubt every emotion. The second one we'll deal with tonight, way to control your emotions, is to filter every emotion that you have. Filter it. Now, here's the question. What do we filter it with? I'm glad you asked. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we'll start at the 5th verse. Casting down imaginations. Now, imaginations is really talking about the soul, talking about the mind, talking about really your environment. So what the thoughts that come from your environment. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So that means that from jump, I need to have the word of God hidden in my heart. What's another word for heart? What's another word for heart? We talked about it last week. What's another word for heart? That's right. Mind. So let's read this again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So therefore, when we talk about the mind and casting down imagination, everything that comes up in our heart or our mind, God already have given us the tool necessary to filter our emotions. So when we hide this word of God in our heart, we're hiding it in our mind. So when we hide the word of God in our heart, That means the word of God is already, or the thoughts of God, which means the feelings of God, which means the actions of God, which means the results of God. Wow. When the word of God becomes the dominant feature in our environment, when the word of God becomes the dominant thing in our environment, then that means what becomes dominant in our thought process. That means what becomes dominant in our emotions, what becomes dominant in our actions, what becomes dominant in our result. You want what God says belongs to you, then the word of God has to be the dominant feature in your environment. This is why, side note, side journey, let's do the historical education. The word entertain actually originates from the Roman Empire. What the Roman Empire would do was in their escapades to conquest the world, to conquer the world, and their conquest, they would conquer different cultures and different countries. The reason why they created the gladiator, the reason why they created the Olympics, all that came out of the Roman Empire. The reason why they created plays, Romeo and Juliet, all those different things, they created those plays to entertain. Now, what was the emperor's reason for entertaining? The emperor wanted to get the subject's mind off of the changes and the laws they were imposing on them that caused them discomfort and misery. So the emperor said, I need to do something to get their mind off of the changes and the laws that we are imposing on them. The Roman idea that we're imposing on a different country, we need to do something to entertain them or to get their mind off of the misery that they're experiencing. So that's why the Olympics were developed. That's why the different plays, Shakespeare, all those different plays were designed to entertain. Today, Satan is using that same trick. Most people want to be entertained, even in the church. They want to come to church and be entertained so they can feel good. So that's what happened. When they went to the gladiators to see them fight, they went to the Olympics to see people compete. When they went to plays and somebody was acting, it literally took their mind and allowed them to escape their reality. Now, when you escape, oh my God, when you escape your reality, that means you are not there to change your reality. Listen to that. When you escape your reality, that means you're not there present to change your reality. So what will happen is when they were entertained, they escaped their misery. The misery was still there for when they returned. Same thing is happening in our lives in churches. People come to church and get entertained and never get challenged with their soul. So when they go back, they feel good, but that feeling good is going to be usurped out of them because their environment is going to change how they think. Glory to God. That's why we get excited in churches, because when you come to church, the pastor or the preacher just preach you into oblivion. He just preach you and get you excited. Some of them even hum. Some of them make it sound good. And so your environment changed. So when your environment changed, your thoughts change. When your thoughts change, your feelings change. So when we go back to those situations, if we don't have anything to work with, the dominant environment will override our environment. That's why the word of God has to be provided. My whole point for saying that is, you don't have time to be watching all those reality TV shows. You don't have time to watch the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, soccer, or whatever your favorite sport is, man. You don't have time to be watching your favorite soap opera 24 hours a day. Sometimes you don't have time to binge watch on Netflix and Hulu. You have to dive into this word so that the dominant entity in your environment is the word of God. That's why sometimes you got to turn the TV off and let the word of God play. If you're going to watch Netflix or you're going to watch YouTube, you need to be putting it on who God has connected you to. For those that are in Word of Life, it's Dr. Thompson. You need to have him playing what thus said the Lord through him. Because the reason why God connected you to him is because God wants to talk to you through him sometimes. So therefore, it's challenging your thought process so that you can change your reality. Remember now, remember this. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts create your feelings. So you have to filter all of your feelings through the word of God. Watch this. When an emotion comes upon us suddenly, we must ask God these questions. Now listen to this. We must ask God these questions. Number one, why is this happening? Number two, is it from the Spirit of God? Talking about this feeling. Or is it from the devil? Or is it from the spiritual atmosphere of where I am at? Wow. So every time I have an emotion, I need to, first of all, doubt it. That means when I doubt it, don't mean it's not truth. It just means I'm suspect of it, so I don't trust it. So it needs to prove to me that it's a true feeling from God. So then once I doubt it, I filter through the word of God. When I filter through the word of God that's hidden in my heart, I'm able to cast down every imagination and everything that exalted, high thing that exalted itself against the what? Knowledge of God. Where is the knowledge of God? His word. Where should his word be? In my heart. Not here, here. Not here, here. When I hide the word of God in my heart, I'm able to filter all emotions. I'm really enjoying these classes on the soul because Satan for so long has been trying to get us to ignore our soul. Do you realize your soul is what most of the action takes place in this earth realm? Remember now, your spirit is already perfect. Your spirit was made in the image of God, so it can't improve. So now, what is this good fight of faith that we're fighting? What you're fighting? You're fighting a battle with your soul. Now, the battle can be easy or the battle can be hard. It all depends on what is dominant in your environment. Let me show you something. Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Watch this. Romans, the 10th chapter. Let me show you something. Watch this. Let me show you something about faith. Romans 10 and 17. This is a soul scripture. No, it doesn't mention soul, but it is a soul scripture. Watch this. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, religious folk have taken this scripture and think that if I just read this word over and over and over again, I'm getting faith. But when you study the word of God to show thyself approved, once again, remember the New Testament, Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. So when it says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That word, what have you ever looked to see what it translated into the Greek? You need a good strong concordance to do that. Because this ain't even revelation knowledge. This is just studying. This ain't from straight from God. This is the actual 17th verse of Revelation from the mouth of Paul. But if you don't know how to study to show yourself approved, you'll miss what Paul is saying. What has everything to do with your thought process. Watch this. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Word there is translated rhema. Do you know what rhema is? Rhema is a live or spoken word of God as compared to logos. This is logos. This is logos. So faith comes indirectly from this, not directly. Why I said indirectly? Because this is the logos of God. This is what God has said. But Jesus said something in Matthew's the fourth chapter. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. That's old English for proceeds. Proceeds is present tense. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that means God is consistently talking. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer say, God, give us this day our what? Daily bread. So don't be like the children of Israel. When the manna started coming down, they wanted to accumulate much manna as they could so they can hoard it up and try to save for the night because they didn't trust that God was going to provide bread or manna for them the next day. Moses gave instruction, eat as much as you can today because tomorrow a fresh batch is coming. That's the same way you got to see the word of God or the rhema word of God. Take as much in as you can today. Get as much done for God as you can today because tomorrow the instructions are going to increase. The instructions are going to change. He's going to give you a new set of instructions. He's going to give you some new opportunities. So it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by a live spoken word of God, not a written word of God, rhema, live spoken word of God. So that means faith or my assignment, knowing what God wants me to do, comes from God telling me. So therefore, if I don't spend time with him, then I'll never get off the logos. I'll be stuck with the logos, never getting the rhema. So watch this. So then faith comes. My assignment comes by hearing and hearing the voice of God in this present moment. So watch this. Watch this principle. This is a principle. It says, so then my assignment or what to do or knowing what to do comes by hearing. Now, what if I take the word of God out and put the hearing of Law and Order? Yeah, the sitcom. Or what if I take out faith? Take out the word of God and put in housewife of whatever your favorite housewife show is. What if I take out word of God and put in, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the NBA, hearing by the word of the NFL. don't do that. Don't do that. I didn't say you couldn't watch the housewives of Potomac or Atlanta or whatever other ones they have, Beverly Hills, New York. I didn't say you couldn't watch Law and Order. Mm-mm. I didn't say you couldn't watch the NFL. I didn't say you couldn't watch the NBA. I didn't say you couldn't watch your reality show. I didn't say that. I didn't say you couldn't binge watch your Netflix. What I am saying is it cannot be the dominant feature in your environment. Come on now, catch that. It cannot be the dominant feature in your environment. The word of God has to be the dominant feature in your environment so that you'll be able to check all those emotions. You'll be able to cast down every emotion that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Is this how Christ would feel? Mm. Asking the right questions about what we are sensing gives us the alertness to react correctly. Is this something to resist? Or is this something to actively participate with to effectively do the will of God? So now the emotions come, am I going to use this emotion to do the will of God or hinder the will of God? That's really what you're asking. And you cannot develop that answer or develop or not develop, discover that answer if the word of God is not hid in your heart or in your soul on the inside of you. We were originally created to respond emotionally to spiritual stimulus. Our minds still have this capacity. I'm going to read a few moments because I want you to I know you read this book, but I need to read this because these are things I want you to make sure you understand. This is why demonic manifestations often involve emotions. You see somebody possessed by a spirit, how you know? Because they're acting out of control. Our emotions still connect with the spirit realm. And if we simply stop and analyze the source of these feelings instead of simply reacting irrationally, we can become very sharp in the spirit. That's why Luke 21:19 is so important. In your patience, possess your soul. Watch this. It is time for us to get out of the soap opera dramatics of being emotionally controlled. And instead, we need to use our emotions as fuel for good works to the glory of God. Did you hear that? I'm going to read that again. It is time for us to get out of the soap opera dramatics of being emotionally controlled. Instead, we need to use our emotions as fuel for good works to the glory of God. So you have to control your emotions. Jesus had his emotions under control all the time. Even the moment when Jesus went into that temple and whipped those money changers out, Jesus was under control. How many of you all have been angry and out of control? Do you know Jesus was angry and was in control, which made him even more powerful because he had truth backing him up? The Bible says, be ye angry and what? Sin not. So it's possible to be angry and be in the will of God. The Apostle Paul would get angry sometime. The Apostle Paul wrote letter to the Corinthians and say, listen, I wrote to y'all two times. Now, this next time I come out there, y'all better be hearing what I'm saying and applying what I'm saying, or we're going to have to make some changes. That's 2 Corinthians. I think it's the 10th chapter, or what, 11th chapter, I think it is. Paul said, I've come to you twice. This next time I'm coming, I ain't playing. That was emotions under control. I'm sure David, when he was going against Goliath, I'm sure he wasn't, oh, this is about to be wonderful. Oh, we just going to have to slay this giant. No, I'm sure his anger was kindled against Goliath, against the Philistines. The Bible says you could be angry, but sin not. But the thing is, did you filter that anger through the word of God that's hidden in your heart? See, no emotions is wrong if the source of those emotions come from God. Did you hear that? If the source of those emotions came from God, how do you know if the source, how do you know if it comes from God? When the word of God becomes a dominant entity in your environment, so you think a certain way. So if an emotion tries to sneak in on you, that comes from an outside environment, some other part of your environment, another thought snuck in, so it creates another feeling. You're able to cast down that feeling, and every high feeling that tried to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I'm so glad that we're taking time to talk about the soul, talk about the different aspect of the soul. Most of you are getting delivered at this very moment. You know if you're letting your emotions get out of control. Why? Because number one, you just flow with all of them. You didn't doubt any of them. Then not only did you not doubt any of them, you didn't check with God to see if that emotion came from him. So therefore, you just went with the flow. So therefore, that's why anybody can come and manipulate you. Anybody can come and tell you, family members can come and emotionally control you. You're looking for their approval so bad rather than the approval of God. You're already approved. You are a child of God. You're already approved. So when you're already approved of God, you don't need nobody else's approval. You might need somebody else's endorsement to other people, but you don't need their approval. So when you're vying for somebody's approval other than God, they're able to control you emotionally. So if they reject you, you get upset. If they accept you, you feel good. That emotion didn't originate from God. Why? Because it's not based on you being a child of God. It's based on how they treat you. I hope you're getting this. This class is so wonderful because we're talking about the soul. I want you to watch this over and let it sink in, because Satan got Eve because of her emotions. Satan got Adam because of his emotions. Began to doubt himself. Begin to doubt who they were in Christ. Don't forget about Prosperity Vow next week. All the night sessions are mandatory for you to attend. There'll be attendance quizzes for each night. Be sure and don't miss it. Thank you for being with me in this session. And I want you to be blessed. And I'll see you next week. We'll start getting into the reasoning and intellect. Well, not next week. Week after next, we'll get into the intellect and reasoning. And oh, my goodness, we're going to have a good time for that. So when you get a chance, read that chapter so you'll be kind of in the atmosphere, and we'll let the Holy Spirit take us where he want to take us. But we have so much to discover about the reasoning and the intellect. Until next time, be blessed, and I look forward to seeing you next week.